WFXX. Once again,
The Fox, your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
It is time for a turbocharged Tuesday edition of What's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and yep, it could be you. Your big showbiz break is awaiting right here at 814-954-7266.
Where you been? You missed all the fun.
Oh man, I am telling you, this is a week, dude. Yeah. This is a week,
dude. Okay, I'm a dude now. Wow. Woo. Okay, now we've got a busy show. We do have a guest next hour. A story that we talked about last week, which still, well, we'll talk to our guest from FIRE, Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. All about free speech. We've had them on before, but they had a release last week, some recent research they've done with some eye-popping results. At least I consider them to be, oh my gosh, seriously? About free speech and college kids and what the heck they're allegedly thinking. And it's not necessarily good. All right, so
no?
That'll be later. Sean Stevens going to join us about 9:20. All right, so sort of the latter part of our show, we're going to be talking with Sean. All right, so I want to dig deeper into this, like, okay, what is this? Why is this? All the things that Sean and his group might know. So some good non-sports stuff later in the next hour because you've missed all the fun.
Was there some fun?
There was fun, yes. Friday there was fun.
Yeah.
Yesterday there was fun.
We're probably just going to go have a bunch of fun tomorrow, too, aren't you? I see how you're shaking this out.
Okay, all right, smart guy.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get back into the swing of things, hoping. Listen, I think... Still think Terry Smith to be a fine candidate. I hear good things about this Matt Campbell fellow out of Iowa State. Who knows who Penn State's next head coach will be. But we can keep talking about that because that's been the hot topic of discussion.
It's done. It's,
what?
It's all over.
Pretty good hire.
As if you didn't know.
That's a pretty good hire.
Now, I've had thoughts. So later on, when we have some more open time, we will throw it to you.
All right.
And you will share your 18 cents or something like that. So there we go. If somehow you haven't been out yet this morning, oh, my gosh. Well, we said it was going to be cold. Yeah, clear overnight, clear this morning. Beautiful morning, except for the temperature part. On my drive into the studio this morning from Penns Valley, all right, I trust the thermometer in my vehicle. One lonely degree.
What is the loneliest number?
One lonely. I was waiting for it to go to zero.
Yeah.
Somehow it never made it to zero. It got stuck at one. Now, I seem to recall the forecast yesterday. It was supposed to be a low of like nine, not one. Now, there's a difference between nine and one. There really is. All right. Woo. This is where you go outside and, you know, you take a breath through your nose and it's like your nose hairs just kind of like that. Like, whoa. Okay. That got my attention. Holy smokes. My guy Domino goes out and does his business. It starts freezing before I'm over to go over and clean it up. It's like, wait a minute. This is a little too fast. Hold on. Slow down. On my drive into this morning, I can look over and I can see our friends at Tussie Mountain Ski Area, and the snow is flying this morning. They've got the snow guns on, and it is whoosh. I mean, it looks like a snowstorm over there, or it did at least earlier this morning. Like, okay, they're getting right to work. Now, forecast, again, tonight, nice day. Watch out later tonight into tomorrow morning. Yep. That's the snow part. Here it comes. Now, not a lot. It might only be an inch by the time it's all said and done tomorrow. Maybe, you know, maybe 2 inches. But, of course, it doesn't take much on the roads to make a mess of things. So my thought is plan ahead tomorrow morning or for tomorrow morning, because this is supposed to roll in sometime late tonight, probably through the morning hours tomorrow. Like I said, plan ahead. I mean, that snowstorm we had last week, wasn't that bad. In the long run, I mean, the amount of snow really wasn't that bad. I mean, you go around, maybe your yard right now, there's no snow. Because we had above freezing temperatures over the weekend. At my house, I've got kind of snow over here and no snow over here. Well, guess what? We got some more coming tonight. So be ready for that. Some folks are just braver than me.
Yeah.
They just are. Again, I'm driving into the studio this morning. There's one particular route I like to take. It's kind of a back road because there's essentially no traffic usually on that road. So it's a nice drive. And I'm driving along, remember, 1 degree. All right, I'm driving. And here's a couple, I guess a husband and wife, out for a walk.
Oh.
I'm thinking, it's 1 degree. What are you doing? Are you crazy? Holy smokes. It's 1 degree. And they kind of waved at me as I drove around.
Hello.
I'm like, okay, you're all nuts. All right, but whatever. Hey, exercise is a good thing. They were pretty bundled up. All right. So it's not like they were freezing as far as I know. So, whew, anyway, connected with snow.
Yeah.
PennDOT every year has what they call the Paint the Plow contest. Have you seen these? This is sort of a fun contest with schools, whoever wants to take part. And it's a statewide thing, but it's a regional, at least right now, it's a regional contest. And so at some point over the fall, they put the word out to high schools, hey, if you want to take part in this, somehow they get them a snow plow, like a, you know, one of those you see on the front of a, you know, big, like a PennDOT truck, and they give them a plain plow, and it's like, okay, paint this. And every year they have a theme. This year's theme is don't race, leave some space.
Ooh.
All right, that's the theme.
That rhymes.
And then it's up to the school to come up with some interesting design, which they then paint on the front of the plow blade, which is kind of cool. Well, they're in the, I guess you would call this the regional finals.
That's what I call it.
Is this week. And you can go online and vote for your favorite. Now, not every school does this. Here's for our particular region, kind of like the middle of the state. We have Bellefonte has an entry. All right. Central Mountain has an entry. Clearfield is there. Moshannon Valley has done a plow. Sugar Valley Charter School in Loganton. They can hear us over there. They have a plow. Walnut Street Christian School. Now, that's in Avis. That's between Lock Haven and Williamsport. I'm told our FM signal gets up there. Like, okay, so Walnut Street and West Branch High School. And so those are the competitors this year. I think if you just, I mean, I'm looking at this form where you can vote, and it's like an office.com file. I think if you just go online and do a web search for PennDOT Paint the Plow, it should get you to the appropriate spot where you can vote, not for some other part of the state, you know, right here, this is us. Just find that. Now, the deadline is Sunday night. So, like midnight, Sunday night. So if you're going to vote, don't wait. Probably do it this week. And, of course, if one of those schools I mentioned is your favorite, by the way, you can only vote once. Okay? You can't.
Oh.
So you can only No.
So it's not like the presidential election. Man, that's a bummer.
No, that's not it.
I wanted to borrow my friend's mail-in ballot.
You can only vote.
Oh, dang it.
Well, okay, hold on. You can only vote once per email address.
Oh.
Now, if you have, I don't know, if you have multiple email addresses.
So it is like the presidential election.
I'm not going there today, all right? So you can vote, all right? So, again, do a web search for PennDOT Paint the Plow, find our zone, our region, and then you can go ahead and vote. All right, so I got to do it, though, by Sunday night, so don't wait. I'm not sure, Mr. Ironhead. I'm a little nervous here.
Me too.
You may want to do...
I think we can beat Clemson, even without... go ahead, though.
Well, that's for later in the show. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. You might want to make some plans here.
Why does everybody always keep telling
you? You need to make some plans, maybe?
You maybe ought to plan something
If you're familiar with LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Now, LinkedIn is a social media site, it's all about business, all right? And you can get a job or you make connections with other business people you know, and they've got content about business and all this other stuff. Okay. Pretty much, not everybody, but a lot of people that just have a job probably have a LinkedIn page. All right, I have a LinkedIn page. I don't really do much with it, but there it is. So the other day I noticed that, you know, if somebody's out there like looking for employees or looking for information, they can search LinkedIn for, you know, I'm looking for this certain type of person or person with this kind of experience, you know, blah blah blah, businessy stuff. And I think maybe every week, every 2 weeks, I get a message from LinkedIn saying, "Hey, people have been searching you." Like, oh, okay. In some cases, it's friends. In some cases, maybe it's some business. Like, okay, they're looking for somebody. Apparently, the other day, I was searched by the New York State Attorney General's office. Okay, I have no idea why the New York State Attorney General's office is searching for me. That could not be good.
Doesn't seem
That's why
like
I'm
it
saying
would be good.
You might want to make some plans for some solo shows in the future and so on. I've done my share here, so it might be about your turn. Except I don't know where I'm going with this one. New York State Attorney General's office.
Wow.
It's like, okay, guys, what do you want?
Wow.
Hello, that's a new one. Anyway, let's see. Later this morning, some Penn Staters will be busy. They're doing an online town hall meeting about the Commonwealth campuses. Obviously, for folks going to the various campuses, including, of course, the ones slated to be closed in a couple of years, a lot of questions, a lot of uncertainty. And so later this morning, Penn State is doing an online town hall meeting to talk about the Commonwealth campuses. Now, I don't plan to be on this thing. It's after our show's over. But I'll be curious, I guess, to see what comes out of it. Are people just going to be, you know, asking basic questions? Maybe some people are going to be a little heated, because I think they still are, about the upcoming closings around the state and so on. Let's see if there's a news story, you know, maybe later today about this particular event and what transpired. That could be interesting. We'll see. All right. Oh, President Donald Trump's coming to Pennsylvania today.
Hey.
Oh, boy. Not here. They never come here. Come on. They never come here. He's going to be over in the Poconos, where this evening, I guess he's going to be at a casino. Very nice.
Hey, now.
The Mount Airy Casino Resort. That's Mount Pocono. Where he's going to talk about, what's he going to talk about? The ending the inflation crisis.
That's right. Affordability, kids.
Oh, yeah. Okay. First off, right now, there is no inflation crisis. Inflation is down below 3%.
Ah!
Oh, wait. No, we ring the bell on that, okay? As opposed to a couple years ago, when at one point it was 9%. And I guess maybe a lot of folks, I mean, is Trump going to unveil anything interesting? We'll see. All right, this gig is what it says, 6 o'clock tonight, which means it'll probably be more like 7 o'clock tonight. So, I don't know, watch your news coverage. I'm sure there will be something about his visit. It's not an inflation crisis anymore, but that 9% from 22, I think? That 9%, of course, raised prices across the board significantly. Now, of course, inflation has gone back down. Again, it's under 3%. But those prices that got raised are still up there. They didn't come back down. And here's where you get into economics arguments. You know, I saw one blurb on a news program last evening where the talking head is talking is like, well, if prices actually came back down, we would call that deflation, and that's supposed to be bad. Meanwhile, a lot of us are like, why am I paying this much for this item where a couple of years ago, a few years ago, it was a lot less? Yeah, that's a problem. What do you do in that situation? It's not inflation anymore. It's just prices. What do you do to try to bring down prices? I'm not sure. I don't have a quick answer for that one. Do you find a way to get people more income? Now, if people had more income, now all of a sudden it's not as difficult to deal with some higher prices. Now, how do you do that? Oh, wouldn't it just snap your fingers? Everybody wins the lottery? No, it doesn't work that way. So let's see what he has to say tonight. I don't know if there's a whole lot. I mean, it's a thorn in the Republican side right now, and Democrats are scoring with this about affordability. They ignore the part that, oh, yeah, when their guy was the president, that's when things went wild. And whoop, up they went. Okay, inflation's come back down. Great. Meanwhile, the prices from a couple of years ago, whoop, up, and they're not going to come back down. What do you do with that? Stay tuned to your news today, or maybe tonight. It'll be interesting. Also, the president yesterday came out with a $12 billion subsidy plan to help out American farmers. They've been in a bit of a jam this year. Again, we got these tariff battles back and forth because we have ridiculous trade deficits with China and Europe and too many other countries. And we're trying to fix those, or the official people are trying to fix those. Well, the Chinese, of course, are not exactly playing along. Soybeans are huge in China. Well, they decided, well, we're not going to get American soybeans now. All right, uh-oh. Well, for farmers that raise soybeans, that's a big problem. So here's a $12 billion subsidy plan, short-term, to help out farmers essentially now, like over the next several months, to deal with this. Now, our local congressman, Glenn Thompson, remember, he's the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee. I would be curious for some thoughts from the congressman about, I'm assuming he's supporting this. Okay, this is a short-term thing. What about a long-term thing? All right, if you're a farmer, you're all nodding your heads like, yeah, this is a bit of a problem. Big one. So let's see what happens with that. Markdown tomorrow, maybe on your calendar, December 10, the Fed gets together again. Oh, those nice folks. And they're going to figure out, okay, what are we going to do with interest rates now? It is expected that they're going to do another cut, probably just another quarter point cut, which doesn't sound like much, but if you have any kind of debt, like credit card debt, variable rate mortgage debt, maybe some others, a quarter point cut when it eventually gets to your lender will help you obviously save a little money. Okay, all right, so watch out for that tomorrow. It is expected that they're going to do a cut. All right, we'll see if that goes. All right, Powerball jackpot last night. Here we go.
Now we're getting somewhere.
$875 million. No winner again.
That's next jackpot, though.
Well, the next jackpot
could be worth something.
That's tomorrow night. $930 million.
See, that's something.
Now, if that one doesn't get hit, the next one probably will hit $1 billion. $1 billion jackpot. It'll be the second one this, well, let's see, Mega Millions was not that long ago, right? A couple of months ago. This will be the second, it would be the second $1 billion jackpot just this season, if you will. Wow. So, I don't know, run out and get your tickets if you want to do that sort of stuff. Of course, it's Christmas. We're counting down to the Ironheads shopping period.
Oh, yeah, it's coming right up.
About another, what, 2.5 weeks?
Yeah, roughly.
Thereabouts, okay. Or, no, 2 weeks, just 2 weeks. Again, got to love online stuff, okay. I came across this one, the most annoying Christmas songs.
The most annoying.
The most annoying Christmas songs. Okay. And the basic gist on what defines an annoying Christmas song is essentially it's a song that allegedly a lot of people just think are overplayed, like on the radio or, I don't know, Spotify or, you know, these places where you can, listen to music and so on. Okay, hold on. I'm looking for it. Where'd it go? Shoot, I had it. Where did it go? No, this is different. The most popular Christmas song in every state. How about that? All right. Now, it's like, where does this stuff come from? There's an outline or an online outlet called Finance Buzz. And allegedly, they do data stuff and blah, blah, and all this sort of thing. And then they somehow come up with a story. And so we got the most popular Christmas song by state. All right, Mr. Ironhead, you want to take a guess on Pennsylvania's most popular Christmas song, according to these people?
My gosh.
Most popular Christmas song, according to these people.
And is it a specific version of the song?
No, it's just a song.
All right, I'll say White Christmas.
Good guess, but no.
All right.
That's not it. Now, White Christmas is on the kind of overall list. This song is number two on the list, according to these people.
For the overall.
For the overall, okay. But for Pennsylvania, they claim the number one most popular Christmas song is...
Dominic the Christmas Donkey.
No. Actually, I had that on Pennsylvania.
You were do better.
You were doing that wrestling stuff on Friday, and so I came across what was that? The worst Christmas songs, according to somebody. And I said on the air, I said, oh, our friend the Ironhead's going to be so disappointed because Dominic the Donkey was on the list.
Get out of here.
The worst Christmas
song. Boo.
You know, that's what I said. Boo.
Bunch of knuckleheads.
That's not nice. Now, according to these people, the number one Christmas song in Pennsylvania is Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
That's what they claim.
That's a classic.
Jingle Bells. Jingle Bells is number two on the overall list. The number one song on the overall list of alleged favorites is All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Huh.
Now, it's interesting. The overplayed songs,
yeah.
Guess what's number one on the list? All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Oh, Mariah.
It's like, wait a minute, make up your mind.
Well,
it's
Mariah.
Good, bad, which one is it?
She's everywhere.
All right. Number three on the favorite list is Santa Baby. By what? Eartha Kitt? Like the originals by Eartha Kitt. Number four on the list is Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow.
I like that.
And then number five on the list is Run, Run, Rudolph. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, really? Okay. Feliz Navidad's on there. Blue Christmas. That's Elvis is on there. White Christmas is on the list. Holly Jolly Christmas is on the list. Folks, you determine what your favorite is, all right? Jingle Bells. We'll go for Jingle Bells. That works. That's cool. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Sports segment. Yep, lots of things going on. Later on, I want to ask my pal here for his thoughts on the news of the last several days since he's been kind of busy doing wrestling-type stuff or whatever. And again, later on next hour, what is going on with college students and free speech? We're going to have a guest talking about some recent research results that just, if this is legit, this is bad. And I'm being sincere when I say that. This is bad. All right? I'll let you be the judge, maybe, later next hour. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Let's take a break. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
It's a busy world. Too many things grabbing your attention. On the radio, you want a show that talks to what you're thinking about. And yeah, some laughs to break up the stress. That show is Let's Talk. Weekdays, 8 to 10 a.m. here on 98.7 The Fox. This is Scott Giese. Join me and Jeff Byers for talk every day on the topics that interest you, that make you angry, that make you want to know more. Big topics, local topics, news or sports, and your calls and comments. Start your day with a show to get the brain cells firing. Let's Talk. Weekdays, 8 to 10 a.m. here on 98.7 The Fox.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel. But a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Let's talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have a little open phone time coming up, and then free speech. What an interesting concept here on our college campuses. Topic coming up toward the end of this morning's big show.
Going to be interesting, yes.
Matt Campbell has officially been introduced as Penn State's new head football coach. The introductory press conference was held yesterday with President Neely Bendapudi and Athletic Director Pat Kraft. Also participating in the event, Matt Campbell with some emotional opening words as he addressed Nittany Nation for the first time as Penn State's officially 17th head coach.
I'm going to take a second. It's been a whirlwind. I'm going to say this. I'm humbled, honored, grateful to be standing before all of you, this world-class university, this world-class athletic department, and truly one of the greatest football programs in the world. And it's an absolute honor to be the next head football coach here at Penn State University. The last 5 days have been a whirlwind. They have been. And as fate has it, it's this full circle moment in my life, our family's life, and this young boy that grew up in Massillon, Ohio, and all you heard about was Todd Blackledge. And you understood his excellence and what he stood for and watched my father compete against him. To, man, spending so much of my childhood in Carmichael's, Pennsylvania. My great-grandfather who worked in the coal mines, my grandparents who worked in Carmichael's, Pennsylvania, and all you heard around those family discussions was Coach Paterno and the toughness and the character of the Penn State football program. To this 16-year-old tight end who was started to get recruited, and you couldn't stop watching number 81, this Kyle Brady. And all you kept saying is, man, someday I want to be like that guy. It's a dream come true for me. It's one of the greatest honors of my life. And I couldn't be more grateful to be here.
And that, folks, is how you introduce yourself.
That's a good
to
intro.
Nittany Nation. That was a really, really strong start for Matt Campbell. As always, you know, it's going to be defined by the wins and the losses and the ridiculously lofty expectations that are here at Penn State. But, man, pretty impressive opening press conference yesterday for Matt Campbell. Everything you hear about him is that he is just a good dude, somebody that really rolls up his sleeves, honest with the players, honest with the recruits, the fan base, the whole bit, just comes across as a very genuine, very authentic coach. And regardless of what all led to it, I think Penn State has landed a really good coach to lead the program for the foreseeable future. So Matt Campbell now officially Penn State's head coach, and a lot of work to be done, obviously, between now and next season. He seems to have a pretty good grasp of the challenge at hand, and again, undoubtedly is going to work today to try to build Penn State into a championship program. Penn State men's basketball team, 8-1 on the season as the Nittany Lions go to Indiana for the Big Ten opener tonight at Assembly Hall. Tip-off will be at 8:30 tonight. The game will be on FS1. Indiana comes in at 7-2 on the season. The Hoosiers are 0-1 in Big Ten play, having lost at Minnesota 73-64. They're also coming off a loss to Louisville in an intra-conference game. Or inter-conference game, I should say, on Saturday, 87-78. Be an interesting opportunity tonight for Penn State. Indiana's a very good team, despite
the results here of the last couple of games, and this is a very young Penn State team that is still in the process of figuring some things out. But neat opportunity tonight for Penn State to go into an historic venue to open up Big Ten play. Again, tip-off will be at 8:30 tonight. Lady Lion basketball team back in action tonight. The first ever meeting between Penn State and Arizona State. That game will be at the Bryce Jordan Center tonight with tip-off at 7 o'clock. And that game will be on the Big Ten Network. Be interesting to see how the Lady Lions bounce back from the high-scoring loss to Nebraska in the Big Ten opener 101-83. Also, we have a couple of Penn State hockey players who have been invited to training camp for Hockey Canada and the IIHF World Junior Championship team. The national junior team roster was announced yesterday, and both Gavin McKenna and Jackson Smith received invitations. They are two of the 27 players invited to the team, two of seven currently in the NCAA. Hockey Canada's initial training camp and evaluation process will be held here from December 12th through the 22nd in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Both players will have the opportunity to earn a spot on the roster. There will be a pair of pre-tournament games coming up against Sweden on December 17th and the 20th. Those will both be in Ontario, and there will also be a game against Denmark on December 23rd at Minnesota State University. All right, let's turn to some high school sports. State College wrestling team picking up its first win of the season last night, beating Shikellamy 44-12. The Little Lions won 10 of the 13 bouts. James Whitbread and Reagan Dillon recorded pins. Luke Young and Teague Sanderson each had technical falls. John Whitbread, Nico Diaz, and Sam Davidson all recording major decisions. And it was Camden Fletcher, Noah Young, and Cal Davis all winning by decision. The Little Lions are now 1-1. State College will wrestle its home opener on Thursday against Cedar Cliff. Tonight we will have a couple of intra-county wrestling matches. It'll be Belfont at Phillipsburg Osceola, and also tonight we will have Penns Valley at home against Bald Eagle Area. We will have live coverage of tonight's meet right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Action will get underway at 7 o'clock with Todd and Norm Brown on the call here for Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Also, the Belfont boys basketball team losing to Bishop Guilfoyle last night, 80-24. The Red Raiders are 0-3 on the season. Penns Valley boys losing at Chestnut Ridge last night, 73-45. The Rams fall to 2-1 on the season. Bald Eagle Area boys basketball team will visit Bellwood Annis tonight at 7:15. St. Joseph's boys will be home against Greenwood tonight. That game will tip at 7:30. A junior high girls basketball action yesterday, actually a couple of games. Belfont A team losing a tough, hard-fought 33-32 battle to Jersey Shore. Belfont's B team also lost to Jersey Shore by a final of 36-7. The Philadelphia Eagles, oh boy, not quite what they were looking for with the Monday night matchup last night. The Chargers prevail in overtime, 22-19. Jalen Hurts threw four interceptions. Ooh. He had five turnovers in the game, including two on one play.
Yeah, that was weird.
Jalen Hurts threw an interception. The Chargers player then fumbled the ball, and Jalen Hurts is like, aha, I got it back. And then he fumbled. So on one play, he both had an interception and a fumble. and the Chargers ended up with the ball and ultimately ended up with the win. Hurts did throw for 240 yards, but again, four interceptions and a fumble for Hurts in the game. Justin Herbert, meanwhile, 12 of 26, not great numbers, 139 yards, a touchdown and an interception, but again, the Chargers get the much-needed victory. Saquon Barkley did run for 122 yards on 20 carries and had a touchdown in the loss for the Eagles. Philadelphia is now 8-5 on the season, while the Chargers improved to 9-4 now on the year. Philadelphia Eagles will be back in action hosting the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday in a 1 o'clock kick. Of course, the Steelers coming off the rousing, dominating victory over the Ravens in Baltimore. Oh, they taught them a thing or two, didn't they? Steelers top the AFC North. They are getting ready for a prime time matchup with the Miami Dolphins, the Mad Turtles' favorite team. Mad Turtle, by the way, updating his bedroom while moving. He has switched office. The mom's office and the Mad Turtle's bedroom have now been inversed. A little more room for the Mad Turtle. But the Mad Turtle has made it into a sports mecca. He has Penn State football and wrestling memorabilia all over the place.
Okay.
San Diego Padres memorabilia, pictures and pennants.
Yeah.
Miami Dolphins memorabilia and pennants. And then we have, of course, as all bedrooms need to have these days, the LED lights that react to music or sound. And so say, good morning, Reggie, and boom, 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 boom. The lights are...
Oh, no.
Oh, it's a scene, man. It's a scene. We will be going at it, will the Mad Turtle and I, though, this coming week, because I really need the Steelers to take care of business here in this one with the Dolphins. And the Dolphins, by the way, have been playing much better football as of late. And so this is a concerning game. Steelers will host it Monday Night Football this coming week. We will have that game for you, by the way, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Steelers now at 7-6. And the Dolphins are at 6-7 going into that contest. And you have all of this goodwill, all of this positive build up after the win over the Ravens. It's like, holy cow, maybe they can win the division. Maybe ride a little bit of momentum here for a little while, Steelers. They seem to, every time they seize a moment like this, they seem to then turn around and squander it. Yeah. And again, this is a Miami team that has been playing very well over these last 3 or 4 weeks. They are playing some really good football, and this game has me, if you can't tell, very nervous. On Monday night.
It's in Pittsburgh.
It is in Pittsburgh.
Well, the Dolphins are going to freeze.
That is the hope. I am hoping that you are absolutely right about that. Pittsburgh Penguins will be back in action tonight. They host the Anaheim Ducks. That would be the Mighty Ducks. That'll be a 7 o'clock face-off in Pittsburgh. And need the Penguins to keep some momentum going here. Philadelphia Flyers will host the San Jose Sharks tonight as well. That is also a 7 o'clock face-off in Philadelphia. And the Philadelphia 76ers, for those of you that follow the NBA, they are off until Friday when the Sixers will host the Pacers in a 7 o'clock tip.
This NBA Cup thing, I don't know what the heck that is.
Yeah.
Sounds like a gimmick.
I think it's fair to say that's a little gimmicky.
Gimmicky, yeah.
I think that would be fair. And, yeah, my Eagles fans, that was a rough one. Literally felt like you gave that one away last night. And we'll get into the Notre Dame situation and all of that stuff as the morning unfolds here. But
right.
That is the sports.
Two quick things.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, number one, fess up. Tell the truth. Be honest. Okay?
I don't want to be honest.
Come on. No. You got to be honest. The Steelers-Ravens game. I talked about this yesterday. The touchdown catch that wasn't.
Oh,
what?
No, he didn't complete the catch.
Oh, come
Not
on.
Even close. Come on, man. You gotta complete the catch. Everybody knows that.
Joey Porter was the guy that eventually knocked it away.
Yeah.
But I thought he had enough steps in the end zone.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
I'm a Steelers fan. I'm not complaining, but
if it was reversed and that was a Steelers receiver and the exact same situation played out, I mean, for God's sake, that's an obvious catch. How could you even question that? Lest you not understand where I'm coming from.
This is the part where I said, fess up, tell the truth, right? Yeah, okay. And, of course,
it is very hard, in fairness, to tell what is and isn't a catch anymore in the National Football League.
Yeah.
I feel like it was pretty – we had a pretty good understanding of it when I was a kid, it felt like. I don't remember the – controversies to the degree that we have them now. I said, oh, that's a catch. That's not a catch. It felt like we kind of knew. And that one, I think,
I'm still trying to figure out what a football move is.
Yeah.
Oh, he has to make a football move.
That's right.
What the heck is that? Now, all the coverage yesterday, of course, about Penn State's new coach, Matt Campbell. If you were online yesterday, oh, my gosh. Everybody and their uncle had comments, and you played a clip. They had clips. And, of course,
I like him, man. The
official channels were busy yesterday. So Penn State Athletics has a channel. Penn State Football has a channel. I'm thinking especially about ex-Twitter, okay? And there was one clip of Coach Campbell and his family walking onto the Beaver Stadium field for the first time. And there's this quiet, and it's dramatic. And it's like, I was like, oh, for goodness sake, come on. Then the coach hugs his wife, and the kids are there. They have four kids. By the way, welcome to the Campbell family. Welcome
Absolutely.
To the neighborhood. All right?
Love having
And
you.
His word, his speech and whatever got a lot of people fired up. I pulled this from our friend Landon Tengwall, all right, former Penn State lineman. He put this on X, quote, still got 3 years of eligibility left. Might have to call Coach Campbell for a meeting after that presser he just gave. And he wraps it up, find me a damn brick wall.
How about it?
Well, first off, Landon does have 3 years of eligibility remaining. Now, he had a serious injury issue. That's the reason he gave it up.
Yes.
I don't know if somehow he's gotten better or if he's just saying the right words. So, but that had a lot of people. Well, we'll take a break. That had a lot of people fired up. All right, good. I had yesterday. We'll come back from the break. I'll hear what my buddy here has to say about all of this stuff. And yes, Notre Dame deciding we're not playing bowl games this year. I was listening to our friend Chris Buchanani here yesterday. Late lunch. Oh, Chris went off. I'm like, whoa, Chris, buddy, take a breath, man. Holy smokes. He went off on Notre Dame yesterday. Other people, like on ESPN, have gone off on Notre Dame. I kind of see their point of view. Hold that thought. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
We don't just talk sports. The Fox. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend
is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, Printing and More Printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing, and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Let's talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. Again, we will have live coverage of tonight's Bald Eagle Area at Penns Valley Wrestling Meet. That action will get underway at 7 o'clock. Our broadcast will begin tonight with Todd and Norm Brown, and looking forward to that. And lots of Penn State basketball tonight. The women taking on Arizona State at home. The men opening up Big Ten play at Indiana this evening. So lots going on in that there sports world.
All right, great to have the Browns back.
Yes, we are looking forward to that.
Again, later next hour, we'll have a guest on free speech and some interesting results from recent research involving what college kids are thinking right now. I'm like, oh, boy, please tell me this is not right. Well, we're going to have a guest from FIRE who's going to fill us in. All right, so that's later next hour. All right, I had my chance to spew on Friday and yesterday. Let's toss it to you. All right, what do you think about the last 5 days of craziness involving the Penn State football coaching spot? What do you think?
I think it's good. All right. Anything else on the? No. Listen, I think it was. I really do. Whatever you want to say about the process, whatever, and I think there's some fair criticism there. At the end of the day, I think this is a great hire. I think it is a great fit in terms of personality and resume. I still think, I've said all along, I think no matter who it is going to be really challenging to live up to the lofty expectations. And the expectations are, hey, we got to win a national title here probably within the next 4 years. That is why, it's not solely why, I understand that. But that is why you got rid of James Franklin. It's like, man, we've got to get over the hump. We got to start beating the Ohio States of the world. Well, okay, I mean, Indiana defeated them. Michigan has defeated them. Pretty much nobody else has beaten them. Oregon got one in there last year. They are the standard bearer in college football right now. Now, do I think Matt Campbell and Penn State could win that game a couple of times here over the next 4 years? Yep, could happen. You're doing the Vegas odds, I think more likely Ohio State wins more often than not, not just against Penn State, against anybody else in the Big Ten. And by the way, it's not just Ohio State that you're competing against. Michigan's still hanging around there. Oregon has poured a ton of money into its program. They have a pretty good coach by the name of Dan Lanning. USC is coming on strong. They have the number one recruiting class. This is the same class where Penn State brought in two kids. USC brought in a bunch of 4- and 5-star recruits. The number one class in the country with Lincoln Riley. Like, they could be pretty good here. That's just in the Big Ten. And they're, Iowa, Wisconsin, we'll see. They're trying to make some noise out there. I think Washington is going to start getting back into contention here in very short order. So you got your work cut out for you just in the Big Ten. Again, no matter who you are. And then you throw in the Georgias, the Alabamas. We'll see what happens with LSU now. Texas A&M. I'm like, there's a lot of really good football teams with a lot of investments into their programs. Texas Tech and Indiana may be here for a long stay in the mix of the upper echelon of the college football world. So I like the hire. I like Penn State's chances. I'm looking around the landscape, and I'm like, it's going to be really hard to get back to the Final Four anytime in the next 4 or 5 years. Like, it is a difficult thing to do, no matter who you are, no matter what resources you have. It's hard. So I love the hire. I love that they kept Terry Smith. I think this thing will move forward in a really good direction. And I'm hoping like crazy with the rest of Nittany Nation that Penn State gets over the hump, so to speak, and wins the national title here. I'm going into it with my eyes wide open. I think it's going to be a really good hire. I think Penn State is going to be really good for a long period of time here under Matt Campbell. Whether they will be quote-unquote good enough to satisfy the administration and the fan base, we will find out. I think that is going to be a substantial challenge. But Matt Campbell, I think, is looking forward to it. I think it's why he took the job, is he believes he can do that with the resources that are here. And I have no doubt that he and Pat Kraft are going to do absolutely everything in their power to make this happen. This being a national title, to make this occur. Now, what the expectations really are for Matt Campbell is, listen, this first year, you don't need to win it. right? They don't need to win the national title next year. Maybe a top 10 program in the first year. But then you better win the next four national titles, because that's what happened last time Penn State hired an Iowa State head coach.
He
finished in the top 10. Yeah, so-so first year, and then reeled off four consecutive national titles. So, Matt Campbell, the ball's in your court. Let's go make that happen here. I mean, come on. Realistic expectations are realistic expectations. Am I right or am I right? So there's that. The LeVar, did you weigh in on the LeVar Arrington
situation? A little bit.
So I was aware of the comments, but I hadn't actually listened to them until actually right before, like an hour before the Drexel match, I finally was able to listen to the comments Friday morning. I just happened to catch, I mean, it was just dumb luck. I'm coming in, we get back from Drexel Saturday, I'm driving out to my in-laws, and here's LeVar on live, and he's like, I need to readdress this, because, and so I'm listening to him readdress his belief that Jay Paterno is somehow undermining the Penn State, undermined the Penn State coaching search and is undermining the program. I've listened to it. I actually went back and listened to the original comments a second time. I heard the comments Saturday. I heard him very briefly address it again yesterday. He is not giving any specifics on what it is that Jay is doing that is undermining the search. Honoring Joe Paterno, I'm still failing to see how one has anything to do with the other. And I have seen some comments, yes, you know, it's a man, you have to bow down at the altar of Paterno, or these people will never be happy. No. Let me clarify for some out there what we actually want. And I feel pretty comfortable in speaking on behalf of at least the majority of us that are of the belief that Joe Paterno, while no doubt a human being and flawed, therefore, as an individual, was also one of the greatest coaches in the history of college football, one of the greatest humanitarians in the history of college football, and as pivotal a figure for the university in a positive direction as anybody in the history of the university. There have been others that are right there with him, but he is, in terms of overall positive impact, getting the university, not the football program, the university heading in a right direction and a good direction, Joe Paterno did as much, if not more, than anybody in the history of the university. So what we want, I don't need Matt Campbell. It was fantastic what he did yesterday at the press conference. I don't need him to open up every press conference, and that's what some of you are making this out to be. You're not going to be happy unless the coach acknowledges Joe Paterno. No, we want him to be acknowledged. And we would like there to be some reflection in the football building about the history of the program. That's all. Like a recognition that, hey, yeah, Joe Paterno was a coach here for a long period of time and did some really good things. That's all we want, a recognition of the history, of the tradition, of why Penn State football is what it is today, why the job holds as much meaning for Matt Campbell, and why he showed the emotion that he did yesterday. That is largely because of what Joe Paterno built over decades. Now, Paterno didn't build it by himself. Penn State football had a good history before him. Yep. And I want to recognize that. I want that all to be there. I think it is important that, especially in this day and age, that the kiddos And this is across the board at any institution and just in life, that you understand you are a small part of something much bigger. It's a good reminder for all of us. I think, you know, when we were talking to Glenn Thompson, he talked about when he goes into the halls of Congress, it does hit him. Man, like, you think about the founding fathers, how unbelievably great of visionaries they were to set this up the way they did, and there is an appreciation there of the history of this country and the greatness that has occurred here. Oh, yeah, but Ironhead, we're flawed. Yeah. Yeah, because it's a bunch of human beings. We're all flawed. I get it. They weren't perfect human beings. But my God, did they build a country that is the greatest in the history of the world. Oh, but Ironhead, we did. Yeah, we've done bad things. Every country out there has. You look at the overall balance here, the scales, that's a whole lot of good done by this country. And understanding that, yeah, we're in a significant part. I mean, every part is going to be significant here in the history. But understand, oh, man, we're part of a great legacy. And this country is part of, obviously, the globe. And then, you know, I think we're part of probably something much bigger in the overall universe. But understand that, yeah, you're part of something much bigger than yourself. I think we have gotten to a point where we have made it too much. And I think especially in athletics, oh, what do you need? Right? We need you. You are the end-all, be-all, and we need to do whatever we need to do to get you here. We need to give you a couple of million more. Man, with your athletic prowess. No. No. Somehow, some way, we've got to get back to, listen, you're a really talented kid. We want to help you develop into a better person. But look at what you could be part of here. You can be part of this legacy that has been before you. And, yeah, we want you to blaze a new way forward and be part of something special with this era. But understand the history and understand that no matter how good you are and how great your career is, there's going to be other great players after you, and there have been a ton of great players before you. And it's just going to be, you're going to be part of the process. And I'm telling you, I've never seen a coach do as good a job of that as Cale Sanderson, and these kids buy into it. Marcus Blaise and P.J. Duke, they know they are really good. They also understand and appreciate the history of the wrestling program here and of the sport in general. And what they are trying to do is be the very best they can be. And they're looking for help in becoming the very best they can be. There's a humility there. And that's probably the greatest trait I have seen and heard from Matt Campbell, going back and looking at some of his Iowa State press conferences as well, is I think this guy gets that, yeah, it's not going to be Matt Campbell alone that I will get Penn State the national title. It's, man, I want to be part of this. I'm excited to be the guy that will be the face of the program, and I'll roll up my sleeves and let's make this happen. But, man, like, I know what has been laid foundationally before me, because I remember Todd Blackledge and Kyle Brady and Joe Paterno and what all that meant and means to the Penn State legacy. And, yeah, I want to be part of that. I want to build on that and, you know, be part of the exciting new era of Penn State football. But he knows, man, I got to go get great players. I just watched, was flipping through the channels last night. Sometimes just everything kind of comes together. And I'm watching, they were doing one of the 30 for 30s on Mike Krzyzewski, and it was the recruiting class that saved Mike Krzyzewski. And he had a disastrous first season at Duke. If you don't know the history, just real quick, arguably one of the all-time greats, inarguably one of the all-time great basketball coaches in college basketball. But when he's initially hired from Army, Duke fans are like, what the hell are we doing here? Why are we hiring this guy that nobody knows who this last name is, Coach K-R-Y, whatever the heck it is? What are we doing? And he goes out, and the first season is a disaster. And, I mean, people are already, well, yeah, why? I mean, this is what you get when you hire an Army guy. And then he changes the recruiting philosophy a little bit, and instead of talking to the top 40 kids, he's like, we're going to dial in on the five kids that we really want, and we're going to go all in on these five. And they basically get the five that they want, you know, Johnny Dawkins and Jay Bielis, and they go through a rough first season. Their freshman year is not, all right, Duke's back, baby. It's, oh, my God, this is a lot harder college basketball than high school. But they stick together. They listen to Coach K. And then that his third year, their second year, it's like, ooh, this is looking pretty good. And then the program takes off and flourishes from there. But it's getting the right guy, believing in him, and understanding that, again, it's not Mike Krzyzewski didn't do it alone. He had to have the right assistants, and then he had to have the kids that bought into what he was selling them and what his vision of the program was. And I'm just telling you, listening to Matt Campbell yesterday, if I was a high school kid, oh, boy, that would be neat, wouldn't it? I'd be certainly listening to Matt Campbell intently and saying, yeah, you know what? This sounds like a pretty cool opportunity. So I am super excited about Matt Campbell. I think you can, in fact, honor the legacy of Joe Paterno and march boldly into the future. I think those can easily be done together. And I think you can also do it with some fiscal responsibility. I know, crazy concept, LeVar. But, yeah, you don't have to just spend anything and everything that is asked for in order to have a big-time college football program. Just my opinion.
All right, let's take a quick break. We got a guest coming up, so we're juggling here a little bit. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Oh, I've got more for my friend. Oh, just wait. We'll be right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again, with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It is our Tuesday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. Again, the phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266.
Now, we only have a few minutes in this segment because we need to take a break, and then our guest is going to be calling in a little bit. We're going to switch gears, talk another subject. All right, so you talked about LeVar. What about the famous or infamous Pat Kraft leaked video, whatever?
Yeah, so...
That was interesting.
Yes. First of all, I mean, at the end of the day, it's... he wants to get this right, is what I took away from that. And he understands the importance of it, both for the program and the Penn State community, and for him, for his personal job security and his legacy. So, I mean, he gets it. To be honest, with my biggest problem with it is that it was leaked. I think that is... there are certain things that just should remain private, and that was a private conversation. That was Pat Kraft wanting to talk to the players directly, and you can have issues with the language or the tone, or that's fine. But we are increasingly, and I am really uncomfortable with it. Increasingly thinking that, anything that is said anywhere, anytime, man, if we can get it out in the public, all the better. And I think you ought to be able to have a private conversation with the expectation that the conversation will be private. I find it disturbing, that somebody, again, my take on this is that somebody breached that trust that you should be able to have in a private conversation. I think there's a bunch of things that go into and a bunch of different reasons. Like the argument, because we've had this on the air before. This is going back years and years about the and then it comes out something, and in some cases, like the Clippers owner with the no question, I mean, a racist rant. But and yes, that is despicable. But also despicable to me was releasing a conversation that clearly was not for public consumption. And there is something that, like, really rubs me wrong about that, because there are things that folks say that I think everybody will say privately, like to a spouse, about a situation or about an individual, that you're not going to say publicly. It's like, yeah, you know, publicly I'm going to say this and we'll be diplomatic. But, man, I can't help but wonder if, well, again, my biggest problem with that whole thing is that it was released. I don't really have that big of a problem with what Pat Kraft was saying in the conversation. And I just, I wish we would do a better job of respecting private conversations. If I'm telling you something confidentially, and I'm telling you, hey, this is between us, then it ought to be between us. That's just me.
Well, if somebody has an agenda.
No. You think?
Hold that thought. I think the analogy I used yesterday, and folks, do not do this. Okay, do not do this. If you have a cat and the cat falls, like you drop the cat, cats always have a way of ending up on their feet.
Yep.
And Pat Kraft found a way to end up on his feet. I mean, remember a week ago we're talking about the BYU coach. Like, where the heck did that come from? And then other names, re-up, 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 and we're all sitting around like, what the heck? And then poof. Now,
like magic.
There is no way somebody can tell me it was planned that way. No. And I mentioned yesterday, it's amazing, Iowa State needed 5 hours to find their new head coach. Bam, they had him. Bam, is that it? And they introduced him like, where? That was awfully fast. Meanwhile, this went for about 2 months. So Pat Kraft has 9 lives like a cat, and he ends up on his feet.
Yep. Okay. Well done. Stuck the landing.
All right, let's take this break.
Yep.
We're going to come back. We're not going to – well, we might talk sports. I don't know what Sean – he's from Philadelphia. He's probably got his Eagles crying towel on right now.
Oh, boy.
We're going to talk about free speech and some recent research that will really make you think, like, seriously? Ugh. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts?
Mm-mm-mm.
So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts?
Mm-mm-mm. So good.
Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Get up and get going with 98.7 The Fox.
Welcome to my Christmas song. I'd like to thank you for the year. So I'm sending you this Christmas card to say it's nice to have you here.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have just a little open phone time right at the end of this morning's program. Quick programming note, yours truly will again be out tomorrow. We are having ourselves a week, so my apologies in advance. Scott will be flying solo for the third time in 4 days. Not quite how we had it planned, but I will be back for Thursday and Friday's show, I think.
I was going to say, don't you have to go to Wyoming or something?
Well, that'll be later in the day on Friday, although we were keeping an eye on the weather. So as of now, I should be here Friday morning, but we'll see how everything unfolds.
You owe me free food or something.
Oh, good heavens. I'm telling you.
All right, we have free speech on this show. He just spewed. All right, there we go.
Yep.
First off, let's introduce our guest here, Sean Stevens from FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. And Sean, first off, let's say good morning. Thanks for joining us again today.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Now, we're going to discuss some things that I actually started talking about last week when you folks sent out a release. And probably as we're chatting here, I'm going to be saying things like, please tell me this isn't true. And probably top of the list is, Sean, please tell me you're not a New York Giants fan, are you?
Oh, poor Sean.
No, unfortunately I am.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been a rough decade. It's been a rough decade.
FIRE is in Philadelphia, is where you're based. Should I assume you're celebrating after last night's game?
Well, I'm happy that the Eagles lost. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
doesn't do the Giants much good.
Yeah, I was going to say your boys aren't going. G-men aren't going anywhere again this year. Yikes. Anyway, all right. Enough of that stuff. We've had you on before, regular listeners. You might recognize Sean's name and face, or voice, I should say. This is radio. That's right. And again, you folks sent out something last week, and as soon as I read the opening line, I thought, oh my Lord, you got to be kidding me. So before we get to that, let's back up a little bit. Maybe we have some new listeners or they have not heard you before, Sean. If you would, tell us something about yourself and then tell us something about FIRE. What is FIRE and what do you do?
Yeah, so I'm FIRE's chief research advisor. My background is in social and political psychology. I got my PhD from Rutgers in 2013. I've been with FIRE since 2020. I was brought on to largely lead the College Free Speech Rankings Project, but we've massively expanded our research department over the last 6 years, and we do a lot of other things now. FIRE itself was originally founded as the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education. The way I would describe that is we were essentially the old school ACLU, but limited to college and university campuses, so we were defending student and faculty speech rights. And then in 2022, we expanded these efforts to defend the speech rights of all Americans. So that's when we rebranded as the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. And our motto is simple. If the speech is protected, we'll defend it, no questions asked.
Yeah, I'm on your email list. And you folks have, how do I phrase this? You've gotten yourselves into trouble a number of times this year because, now, to detail this, you've had instances where you backed up the free speech rights of, say, somebody on the political right, and then you catch flack for it. And then later on, you had a situation where you backed up the free speech rights on somebody on the political left, and then you caught flack for it. Talk about some of that, because you're like an equal opportunity offender. I mean, what are you folks?
Well, yeah, we're a nonpartisan organization. So, like I said, if the speech is protected, we'll defend it. Our president, Greg Lukianoff, has said multiple times and even written at least one op-ed piece on his Substack about this, where it's, we'll drive this bus into the wall before we compromise those principles. So, yes, we know we sometimes offend people on, we offend people on all sides of the spectrum, because we're going to defend speech on all sides of the political spectrum.
Sean, has it always been this way? People just sniping back and forth, back and forth, back and forth?
To an extent, I would say yes. But I think our current media environment, social media, internet, the connectivity of everybody has amplified and made it very clear that this is the case. I don't think people trying to censor other people's views or you know, trying to curb expression is a new thing. We see it in polling data going back decades. But I do think in today's environment, we're far more aware of it, and we see it a lot more.
I'm trying to think. This was weeks and weeks ago. You folks put some kind of blurb or something. I mean, have you actually lost? I mean, you're a nonprofit, so you're looking for people to contribute and all that sort of thing. Have you lost contributors simply because you defended a certain side's speech rights? Or did I misread that?
So it's like probably a little more complicated, and you know, the development team here at Fire is probably the better people to ask about this, so I'm kind of going on what I know. We lose donors when people don't like a cause that we defend, but it seems like oftentimes just as many are lost or then new ones are gained through defending that cause that the old ones didn't necessarily like. So it does happen, but our practice of defending speech on all sides of the aisle, I think, lends itself to new donors showing up all the time.
All right. You are truly nonpartisan, which, I don't know, Sean, I think that makes you folks a rarity. I hear people kind of mouth, oh, we're nonpartisan, and then they really aren't. You guys really are.
We try our best, yeah. We do. We actually have a very politically diverse staff, I would say, too, which I think is important to basically, you know, having people in the organization be principled like that. You need to be exposed to those different views and you know, see people of all stripes.
All right. So do you folks ever have arguments when you get together for meetings?
It can get passionate, sure. We're not shy about disagreeing here, you know, so.
Okay, all right. Well, let's talk about what you folks released last week. Because, again, when I first saw this is last Wednesday, I just thought, oh, man, this is not good. So, first off, I mean, give us some background on what was released last week. Where did you come up with this information? I mean, I'll let you describe it, all right? What did you folks cut loose last week?
Yeah, so I'm sure most of, if not all of your listeners, are well aware of what occurred at Utah Valley University in September, where Charlie Kirk was assassinated. That actually was the day after we released our annual College Free Speech Rankings, which for the first time this year included Utah Valley. In the aftermath of this, we thought it would be a good idea to see what students thought and how they were feeling after that incident. So we worked with our survey partner, College Pulse, who we do the rankings with. We put out a poll in early October, so it was in the field for the month of October, basically. We got a little over 2,000 undergrads surveyed. It included an oversample of about a little over 200 students at Utah Valley. The survey included a series of questions that are on the ranking survey, so we could do a pre-post comparison to the data we collected back in the spring. And then we had additional questions that we didn't ask of in the ranking survey in the spring that were more specific to the event itself. And I'll leave it at that. There's a number of juicy findings in there, but I'm sure you got questions about those. But broadly, that's what we did, and that's what we put out.
All right. Now, before we get to the findings, I'll be honest, Sean, Scott here. I'm always a little skeptical when I hear about surveys because I'm thinking, okay, what was the sample size? What was the breakdown of the sample? You know, male, female, you know, skin color or something, part of the country and so on. And then you take these results and you try to, you know, say everybody. I'm always a little skeptical on that, Sean. When I was in college a very long time ago, I took a one semester course in statistics and it was enlightening. And when I came out of that course, I just thought...
I think it should be required for everybody.
Yeah. It really should be. Because I thought I had no idea about a lot of this stuff. And so some surveys that are floating around, I'm thinking, I'm not buying this one. So yours, I mean, how do we know that this is, in a word, accurate?
So we, you know, our survey partner, College Pulse, has the largest... panel of undergraduates in the country. They have over a million students enrolled in it in all 50 states. What we do when we do the analyses is we apply post-stratification weighting. That sounds like a real fancy term, but effectively it's standard practice in survey research, and it's researchers acknowledging that, hey, you know, yes, we collected a sample. The sample itself may not break down as fully representative, but these weights that you apply effectively create a representative sample. So if you undersampled males, you apply a weight that then increases their status in the pool basically to where it would be. It creates a representative sample of undergraduates based on information schools have provided to the Department of Education. It's maintained in what's called the IPEDS database. So we're weighting by gender, race, region of the country, socioeconomic status, things like that. Politics doesn't factor into this, so that's one thing that doesn't necessarily get weighted. But we do that. It's standard practice in survey research. All surveys have a margin of error. This one has a margin of error of about 2%, so you can kind of, if you see, you know, a result that says 91% of students say that at least the phrase words can be violence at least slightly describes their thoughts. The margin of error applied to that means that could be 93% or it could be 89%, but that's the range.
All right. Now that's all right. We want to go over some of the numbers from this gig, but that's what you have at the top of your release. 91% of undergraduate students believe that words can be violence. And, Sean, as soon as I saw that, I'm thinking, oh, my God, seriously? That's what they believe? Now, even if that's 89%, that's I'm shocked.
Very high. It's very high.
I mean, what reaction did you folks have? I can't believe that number.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's troubling. I'll further clarify it to say, you know, there's five response options on that. So the 91% comes from summing up every response option that isn't, this does not describe my thoughts at all. However, about 50% of them said that phrase either mostly or completely describes their thoughts. So I do find it very troubling. It's an idea that's emerged on campus, I'd say over the last 10 to 15 years, it's kind of motivated, I think, by a drive to censor views that are disliked. If you can equate words with violence, well, then, of course, it makes sense to regulate these violent actions. And it's increasingly used, I think, to quash debate on campus. And then I'll add, actually, even more concerning, and this wasn't necessarily highlighted in the release, but we also asked a similar question. What do you think of the phrase, silence is violence? And 79% of students said that at least slightly describes their thoughts. So basically not saying anything in the face of, you know, something offensive being done, it can also be considered violence by a lot of students.
Okay. Now, you had some, yeah, this is hard to believe. I'll do a follow-up in a moment. But in your release, you had some other kind of breaking the numbers down a little further between maybe like so-called conservative students, moderate students, liberal students. Go into some of those numbers that you folks discovered as part of this study.
Yeah, some patterns we found were very similar across the spectrum. All students, regardless of their ideology, they're, compared to the spring, there's far more students now saying violence is never acceptable to stop a speech. Within that, there are some differences. While all students kind of moved in that direction, modern conservative students more strongly moved that way. Conservative students are now almost at a ceiling, basically saying that violence is not acceptable to stop a speech, like well over 90%. So I think that's encouraging. Other things that we saw, though, and particularly at Utah Valley, there's some more interesting findings in that when we ask about controversial speakers and whether they should be allowed on campus, liberal students at Utah Valley became less tolerant of all six we ask about. And that includes three of them that basically have very, like, kind of left-wing political views that you would presume they agree with. So this is a little speculative, but I'm taking that as they're just concerned in general about events on campus now. Somewhat of a maybe rational reaction, given that Utah Valley was the epicenter and where the assassination occurred. But that to me is very striking in that you've got left-leaning students now being less tolerant of allowing even controversial leftist speakers to speak on campus.
Jeez. So the thought is from these kids, there just shouldn't be any speech on campus. We shouldn't do anything. Shouldn't talk about anything.
I don't know if that's necessarily how they feel, but I think they're very, there's a lot of nervousness, a lot of anxiety. Some of this is rational, I think, if you were present or you were on the campus where this assassination occurred, I could see some of this being rational. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of it is a bit more concerning. I think at the end of the day, it's clear from our results that a chilling effect has occurred on campus speech across the country as a result of the assassination.
All right. Mr. Ironhead, go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple of things, Sean, real quick. The do they get into specifics as to how they are defining violent speech, which again is just ridiculous to me, because for a long time I have had problems with both hate crimes. Again, to me, a crime is a crime. If you punch me in the face, you ought not be allowed to do that. I don't feel any better if, well, at least he didn't do it because I'm a blue-eyed moron. I don't care what the reason is. Don't punch me in the face. But it's the same thing. But I'm wondering if hate speech is what they are defining as violence. If they're getting more specific on what it is that's violent, or what qualifies as violent speech, because again, the hate speech stuff just drives me crazy because of the way it can be and is defined in some cases, where it's like, well, that's not hate speech. That's just speech that you disagree with. It's not hateful. It's just different than your viewpoint.
Yeah, so we actually asked as a follow-up, so this wasn't asked of all students. It was only asked of students who said that violence was acceptable to stop a speech to some degree. So they said always, sometimes, or rarely acceptable. We basically asked them, what forms of violence do you consider acceptable to stop a speech? The most common responses here are throwing projectiles, use of chemical irritants, physically assaulting the speaker. I will note, though, that almost half of students said none of the above to the options. So I think this is telling in that most of them probably wouldn't commit violence themselves, and they certainly weren't thinking assassination as part of it. But it's still concerning that you know, large percentages of students are like, well, yeah, like maybe once in a while this would be acceptable. Something we haven't looked at and we could maybe follow up with in a little bit, we actually asked students on this survey an open-ended question of simply, how do you define hate speech? That's qualitative analysis, so we haven't kind of crunched that yet in the effort to kind of get these top-line results out, so I don't have really any juicy quotes from there for you right now, but we did ask that, and I could probably come back and talk about that at a later date.
I would just be curious, because, again, there are things, and I would still defend the right of people to say it. Again, that's the whole thing with free speech, which somehow we've just lost, is, yeah, I'm all for free speech as long as you say something that I agree with. But if you start down a road where I passionately disagree with, then, there can be consequences for free speech. Like, that's the other, you know, to go to the other extreme, it's like, well, no, I can say whatever I want and there should be, you know, nothing anybody can do about it. Well, no, that is also not true. If you are out there representing a company or, you know, a organization and you say something that is clearly going to be detrimental to the company or the organization, by all means, they have the right to, all right, we're going to distance ourselves from you, bye-bye. Nobody is saying that. It's the, you know, government and, like, criminal ramifications. And I'll tell you, we're starting to see some scary things happening over in Europe and the UK right now in that regard, where there are real consequences here for having, or not having freedom of speech. Like, jail results.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to start becoming like some of our European brethren across the ocean. You know, Britain, Germany have some very interesting speech laws over there, and we definitely, I would say, we don't want to move in that direction. But yeah, I mean, this year we've seen a lot. We've seen a lot of things shift in terms of campus speech. There is still the threat that's been present for at least the past decade from students and smaller portion of faculty that identify on the political left. But we're now seeing far more government action attempting to target campus speech from the state and federal government. And it's concerning, and the large uptick in it, we maintain these couple databases on our site as part of our research as well. We have the platforming database, which tracks attempts to get speakers canceled, get art exhibits removed, things like that, play performances stopped. We have a Scholars Under Fire database. It's attempts to sanction mostly faculty, but it could also be like postdoc researchers, things like that. And we have a student database that tracks attempts to get individual students and student groups sanctioned. And in all of these, we've seen basically the first two, the deplatforming and Scholars Under Fire database, they go back to about 2000, so they span over 25 years. Up until this year, we basically had tracked very few attempts by the, quote, government to actually sanction campus speech. I think it summed up to maybe 100 over the 25-year period. And we're well above that this year. And so we're kind of very concerned about that as well.
All right, we're talking with Sean Stevens from FIRE for just a few more minutes. All right, now, Sean, again, college students, this is the famous or infamous Gen Z. Now, for we older types, maybe slightly much more older types, we look at the kids, we're like, what on earth, where did this come from? So an open-ended question, where are these kids getting these ideas? 91% say words can be violence. Where, I mean, very open-ended, more opinionated, if you will.
Yeah.
Where do they
sure.
get, where did this come from?
I'll get a little speculative here, but, you know, with my background in psychology, I'll say there's multiple reasons, right? It's multiply determined. A lot of it, I think, comes from, like I mentioned before, our media environment with social media and the explosion of the internet and the use of this as a main source of not just news but interaction. I think we're now finally, you know, about 10 years ago, when I was working at Heterodox Academy with Jonathan Haidt, him and I put out basically a hypothesis that the younger generation is more censorious. But the back then we were like, all right, the jury's still out because we don't have enough data. Last year, Greg and I basically reviewed that and kind of came to the conclusion that the hypothesis holds water. And it does seem like this generation is more censorious than ones in the past. I think a lot of that comes from being a lot of their socialization in their formative years happening on social media. You had the COVID pandemic and lockdowns and reduced social interaction there, I don't think helped. But I also think some of this maybe even goes further back. There's parenting styles, as Greg and John talked about in their book, Coddling the American Mind. There was the introduction of kind of anti-bullying programs, which, hey, good programs, well-intentioned, but I think a lot of the ideas of words can be violence come from things like that. And so it's well-intentioned in wanting to prevent bullying at first, but you inevitably get what psychologists call concept creep, and the definition expands to include more and more things, and things that maybe don't really rise. As you mentioned earlier, it's like, well, being punched in the face is a lot different than being called a nasty word. As someone who's played ice hockey for 38 years, I very much agree with that. But I think a lot of this comes from studies are definitely well-intentioned ideas that then have gone too far.
All right, Sean, before we let you go, let me toss in an extra element, and if I'm wrong, feel free to shoot this down, all right?
Sure.
All those things you just mentioned, all right, young people, I mean, we've interviewed Penn State students a lot over the last couple of years here on our show about politics and other various things. Very smart young people that we've dealt with, at least. They've been great. Mm-hmm. But these are college kids. Is it possible that over a number of years they've been led in a certain direction by adults with certain leanings, or is that just not happening?
Oh, no, yeah, I think that there is. That's kind of the point of Greg and John's book, Coddling of the American Mind, is I think a lot of this actually starts before college, and they've kind of been led to these ideas through K-12 education, and then also how parenting styles and kind of this very protective, remove all obstacles, remove all potential from harm philosophy, it kind of prevents people from growing, right? Like, to grow, I think you need to be challenged. You need to have some difficult experiences. And we, for a while, it seems like our parenting styles, not all of us, but a lot of people in our culture and society, it shifted to this, no, there just can't be any harm. There can't be any bad things. Like, we're going to create this very curated environment where nobody gets offended. And I don't think that's good for growth. And I think that's been a disservice to this generation.
All right, Sean, we got maybe a minute. What's a solution to any of this? Or is there no solution? We're just doomed to keep going down this road.
I think there's some encouraging signs maybe in the aftermath of the assassination. Like I said, in the data, I think students, that almost half of them said none of the above to any of the options that we selected for violence, which I thought were pretty encompassing, means it's like, wait, maybe you weren't necessarily thinking this through so much at first, and then now that there's this very salient event and you have an example of it, it's like, wait, no, we did not mean that was okay. And I think that is at least somewhat encouraging, although there are, like I said, there's other troubling signs that existing ideological divisions are going to remain and maybe strengthen, get harder.
Sean, real quick, you folks have a website, very informative website.
Yep.
What is that again?
So for years it was thefire.org, but now fire.org will also get you there. You've got, basically you could access all our research from there. You could access any other information about fire as well. And then we also have a we have another website for our college free speech rankings. That's rankings.thefire.org. And you can explore all of our college data there.
Well, Sean, we appreciate your time this morning again. I'm on your list. Keep sending out the information, interesting and otherwise.
Yep.
And I don't know, go Eagles or something, all right? So have a good day.
Oh,
you too. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you very much.
All right, go G-Men or something. They need all the help they can get. All right, we're going to take our final break. We'll
they
do
might
a
get
really
the number one pick though.
Abdul Carter, when he stays awake and whatever that controversy was. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
I really can't
but
stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been.
I'm hoping that you drop
so
in.
It's a little cold outside.
Well, it was. What is it now?
It's still a little on the chilly side.
That's still pretty
cool. Just saying. About a minute if you want to chime in on anything. 814-954-7266. Again, I'll be off again tomorrow. Sorry about that. doing a lot of traveling.
So if it snows,
some intended, some not.
If it snows in Wyoming, you may have to leave early or something. Or
well, yeah, more so here, but yeah, I mean that's potentially, I guess,
okay.
That is the case. I think we're going to be okay.
All right. Have you ever been to? Well, you've been to Wyoming. Have you ever
just
been to the University
this past
of Wyoming?
Spring, I have not been to. No.
What's
not,
that, Laramie?
I've not been.
Oh, that sounds like
not
a fun trip.
There. Yeah, looking right. forward to it.
So that so the wrestling team can go and bury another opponent.
they're pretty good.
They're pretty good.
They're pretty good this year.
Now, I saw, we're almost out of time here. I saw a quick clip from Cale Sanderson, wrestling coach, former Iowa State person. Did he have anything to do with this? What do you think?
I don't think he had anything to do with it.
Nothing?
No.
Well,
I mean, they have talked now, but no, I don't think he had anything in terms of lining up the opportunity here for Mr. Campbell.
I don't know, it just seemed like the obvious connection. This one Iowa State coach, he's done pretty well.
Not too shabby.
Now we got this fellow over here.
Yes,
so.
Indeed.
Anyway. All right, folks, we are out of time. When the music plays, man. That means wrap it up. It's going to warm up today. Watch out again. Snow late tonight into tomorrow morning could be interesting. Let's be careful out there, folks. In the meantime, hey, have yourself a terrific Tuesday.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox. Fox Sports.